Today on Real Life Radio.
Our culture puts so much on the body. Listen, that's a dangerous thing. Because our body only knows what feels good or what makes it happy. And therein is the danger, because what feels good on Monday may not feel good on Friday.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. We have a newly featured resource for you, and it's written by one of the most influential spiritual leaders of our day, the late Charles Stanley. In his powerful book called The Gift of Forgiveness, Stanley shares the key to personal peace. And he tells us that there is no sin that is so evil that it blocks God's forgiveness, the gift of forgiveness. It reflects the heart of Stanley's ministry and addresses such questions and thoughts as to how to practice forgiveness in all your relationships and how to make forgiveness an ongoing experience in your life.
We so much misunderstand the ministry of forgiveness. Please get a copy of this book for yourself. It will change your life, and you might be surprised to find out that forgiveness actually winds up setting you free.
The Gift of Forgiveness by Charles Stanley. It's our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. All you got to do is go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And order your copy today. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled God, Marriage, and Divorce, The Dangers of Splitting Up a Home, Part 2. 1 Corinthians, of course, was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth. And just as a disclaimer, this particular message may not be appropriate for young listeners. So please take note that if they are listening along with you, this might not be the message for them. You see, the Bible stands alone when it comes to relationships. Sadly, the breakup of marriage is the number one sickness in our culture, and it leads to more physical and emotional damage than anything else. And if a marriage breaks apart, so goes the family, and so goes the world we live in. Now, with his message called God, Marriage, and Divorce, The Dangers of Splitting Up a Home, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Dr. James Dobson says success in marriage does not come merely through finding the right mate, but through being the right mate. Wow, is that true? Another quote, more marriages might survive if the partners realize that sometimes the better comes after the worse. You know, for better, for worse. That's wise counsel. That word means stick it out. But what happens in the church when that doesn't happen? What are the options regarding divorce according to the Bible? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10 to 24. And I need to say this because I said it last week and I'll say it again, especially for those of you who are visiting for the first time. I have chosen from last week to this week, we'll see how far we go today, but I've chosen to not have this be a normal church service. I'd rather have this be a time of life-changing experience than to do a traditional church service. And so because of that, I'm going to take some liberties. At least they're in my heart to do. You might say, well, the message was no different than any message we hear anyway. But I want you to know I'm coming at it differently in my heart. We're looking at a message that is now turning out to be a little series, and that is God, Marriage, and Divorce. And what does the Bible say about it? God, Marriage, and Divorce. 1 Corinthians 7, beginning at verse 10. Paul says, now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and the husband is not to divorce his wife. Verses 10 and 11. Strong statement, true statement, not popular. Frankly, our opinion doesn't matter because God's the architect of it. Verse 12. To the rest I say, that implies to a believer who's married to a non-believer. He says, if a brother has a wife who does not believe and she's willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. The Christian shouldn't divorce the non-Christian if she or he wants to stay married. And a woman is not to who has a husband who does not believe, if he's willing to live with her, she's not to divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are separated to God or holy. But if the unbeliever departs, that is, if the unbeliever says, I've had enough of this Christianity, I can't take it anymore, I'm leaving, the Bible says, listen, let him or her depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, let him walk, and so I ordain in all churches. Was anyone called while circumcised, meaning Jewish? Were you a Jew before and now you're a Christian? Let him not become uncircumcised. He says, was any of you uncircumcised? Let him not become circumcised. If you're uncircumcised, that implies as a Gentile in the world. Now that you're a Christian, okay, you don't need to go get circumcised. Has nothing to do with it. Why? Look what it says. Verse 19. But keep, what God is interested in is keeping the commandments. That's what matters. Verse 20, let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called as a slave? Much of the known world at that time were those who were slaves. He says, do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called by the Lord while a slave is the Lord's free man. And likewise, he who is called by the Lord who's free is the Lord's slave. Verse 23, you were bought at a price. By the way, you ought to underline that. That's key. Verse 23, that's the key to the whole thing. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Very quickly, touching and picking up from where we left last time. God, marriage, and divorce, we started looking at this. It was our first point, remember, is verses 10 to 13, and it was this. We asked the question, why is marriage such a big deal? And we have three answers to that. One of them is as far as we got last week. It's this. It's that it's a spiritual union designed by God. You say, what's the big deal about marriage? Number one, the engineer of marriage, the designer says that it is a spiritual union designed by him. God made it that way. And when God says that two people come together, body, soul, and spirit, the scripture teaches us that what God has joined together, you see, I don't even believe in God. It doesn't matter. Listen, God, even in the lives of a non-believer, there is a supernatural event that takes place. I touched on it last week. When two people meet each other, there's a spark. It could be anything, by the way. God uses all kinds of stuff. It could be situations. It could be situations where you often see people who are in great struggles. Maybe it's a great crisis. And this person falls in love with the leadership of this other person. And they get married. This person, maybe these two single people, they see each other at work. And she's very, very impressed by his integrity and his ethic, and she falls in love with it, and vice versa. That happens all every day. It could be that you think someone's physically attractive. That happens every day. Oh, he's cute. Oh, she's cute. God uses that stuff. All kinds of things. I guess he could use anything, but some people meet on the internet, right? Okay, fine. So, okay, he uses stuff. You go from acquaintanceship to a relationship, and there's all kinds of dynamics. Feelings are elevated, or feelings are hurt. Feelings are comforted, or feelings are irritated. Why? Because you are more, listen, my friend, you are more than what you think you are. You are a spiritual dynamic housed in a human body. Our culture puts so much on the body. Comfort the body, take care of the body, stroke the body, whatever the body wants, the body gets. Whatever body wants, body gets. Listen, that's a dangerous thing, because our body only knows what feels good or what makes it happy. And therein is the danger, because what feels good on Monday may not feel good on Friday. Okay? And your emotions, if led to drive your life, will ruin your life. You are created by God as a spiritual being. And some of you don't know that. You can also, though, confess immediately that you certainly have what the Bible calls soulology, or psuche in Greek, mindology. You guys, we know it as psychology. Your brain works a certain way. The Bible does not deny that. The Bible says God made you that way. We have a body, we have a mind, soul, and we have a spirit. And Jesus said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why is that important? Because you and I, our soul is alive and our bodies are alive, but our spirits are dead. How do we know? We don't love God when we're spiritually dead. We have no inclinations toward God when we're spiritually dead. Jesus says you need to be made spiritually alive. And so it's a spiritual union. And we saw that in verses 10 and 11. Now let's pick it up where we left off last time. Let's jump into this. Verse 12, why is marriage such a big deal? It is a ministry foundation dedicated to the other. It's dedicated to the other person. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. I thought God brought that woman in my life to make me the happiest man on earth. Pastor, I have to marry him. If I don't have him, I just can't live without him. And if anyone tells you they can't live without you, end the relationship. Spare yourself some grief and get out of it. You know what? Think of the pressure. Please, if you don't marry me, I can't live without you. Listen, if a man says that to you, woman, run. Take your heels off and go. Here's the reason why. Think about it, honestly. I've got to have you. I can't live without you. Before you even get to the altar, the pressure's too big. You know what they're saying? You're the one, the only one on the whole planet that can make me happy. My whole world revolves around you. You know what they're saying? Never burn my omelet. Make sure my pancakes are flat enough. Make sure the house is perfectly clean. Make sure you bring home enough money. You better make me happy. Let me tell you something. Happiness is not the deal. I mean, don't get me wrong. We'll just edit that part out. Listen. My wife, she's as solid as at 18 as she is right now at 29. right? She made it very clear to me. I'm not looking to you to fulfill my joys and pleasures in life. I look to the Lord. She told me that when she was 18 years old. First of all, let me tell you something. That's why I married her. Okay? You don't let somebody like that get away. You want to know why? First thing, whew, now I can do something in that environment. Why? Because she's looking to God for her fulfillment. If you look at a woman and say, oh, you fulfill me. For how long? I mean, come on, things happen, man. What fulfills you in the first year? Listen, 10 years later, there's a little bit of a... You know, my husband's just not in the shape he used to be. Well, look, I understand that, but... And this is life. Because if we don't get a grip on committing to marriage and understanding that is the foundation of ministry, is how you relate to your spouse. It's not about you in marriage. Really? If you think it's about you, don't get married. Marriage, God invented, and the Bible says Jesus has displayed his relationship with the church like marriage is between a man and a woman. And it's such a total commitment that Jesus says, the Bible says, Paul the Apostle says, that the man, the husband, is to lay down his life for his wife. Boy, I bet every Muslim woman in the world would like to hear that message, huh? The Bible says the man of the home, the husband, is to lay down his life, not her life.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Marriage is a ministry. And it has nothing to do When your hearts are right and you're pursuing the Lord, now listen, those of you who are not Christians, listen to this. You might say, well, gosh, I've been with this woman for 20 years. It's about ready for me to, I'm about ready to bail out. Why? Well, I can get a younger version. I can get a younger model. Have you looked at yourself, mister, lately? Okay. I highly recommend you and your wife, you come to know Jesus today. Amen. You want to know why? The world without Jesus is panicking. It's panicking. It's in a state of panic. Marriages without Jesus is in a state of panic. But when the husband loves the Lord more than he loves his wife, and when the wife loves the Lord more than she loves her husband, when God is number one, your marriage is going to rock. You want to know why? Because, first of all, a 9,000-pound weight is taken off your shoulders. Because I look to the Lord to meet my needs and to work on my demands. And Lisa does the same thing. And that takes a huge weight off. And so the next thing is this. Why did God bring us together? He brought us together, so, and it's the same for you, so that we might have a greater influence for his kingdom. Too many people get married, their dreams are shattered, they were in love with a concept, and they were never taught or never encouraged on how to serve one another. It's all about the other person. The Bible says right here in verse 12, but to the rest, that is a believer married to a non-believer. Why? Because it's all about the other. And this is very, very important. The Bible tells us over and over again that if we love one another and if we love the Lord, we will exercise that by service to one another. Now listen, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, listen carefully. The scripture says regarding loving the other and ministering to the other, the Bible says this, and this is true, by the way. Grab this verse and use it in all your relationships, but how much more in marriage? Are you guys with me? You're very quiet. Yes. Okay, listen. If you're married, raise your hands. I need to know this. Okay, put your hands down. See this verse? Do not sin. That word means everybody sins, but this word means don't plan on it. Don't make a plan to sin. Okay, but watch this. Do not sin. Do not let your sun go down on your wrath. The word means this. Are you upset in your marriage? Now, this goes to friendships, everything. Watch this, though. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Let me insert this. Do not sin by doing that. Don't let the sun go down when your relationship is fractured. Those of you who raised your hands a moment ago, you have arguments with your spouse, don't you? No? That guy or that woman back there does right there. Me too. And all these are liars right here, okay? It happens. What do you do about it? What do you do about it? The Bible says, make up before you go to bed. Isn't that a funny thing? You say, well, that's nice. Oh, no, it's beyond nice. Nice has nothing to do with it. Have you ever been in an argument with your spouse and you go to bed and you wake up the next morning? What do you feel? Anger, listen to the women. All of you know, it's all together. They all said, you know what the man said? The women unanimously said anger when they wake up, angry. The men say hungry. And that's true. You know why? When you don't deal with it, because it's a spiritual thing and you're to serve one another, husbands and wives, listen, before you trash your marriage, why don't you try serving one another first? I'm out of this marriage. Well, calm down. Try this. Serve one another. And the number one thing, when you're in an argument, and if you go to bed without settling that argument as a Christian, and you wake up the next morning, that person might be 3 inches or 3 feet, however big your bed is, away. It doesn't matter. They're 1,000 miles away when you wake up. You feel like they're on another continent. You know what I'm talking about? Can someone say amen? Yes. It's true. Why? The woman all night long, she's like this. Why can't he? God, make him understand. Open his eyes. What's wrong with him? Cause him to grow up. Let me think. You know what the guy's doing all night long? He starts to wake up and she goes, all right, let's settle this. He wakes up and he says, let's just forget about it. Right? Yes. That's the way men are. It's wrong. Okay, now listen. Okay, a lot of interaction going on here today. It's great, interactive church. The Bible says to deal with it before you go to bed. Do you remember Phyllis Diller? She was a comedian of 100 years ago or something. Phyllis Diller said, regarding this verse, she said, regarding this verse, it's better to put a pot of coffee on and argue all night than to go to bed like this. And you know, there's some truth to that. Make it work. Everyone has their disagreements, their arguments. And in the context of what Paul's talking about, it is massive because the chapter 6 and the chapter 7 context is infidelity or adultery, being with a non-believer who now wishes to depart from you. That's a heartbreaking thing. Also this, in verse 13, it's a physical witness. Why is marriage such a big deal? It's also a physical witness displayed before the world. I don't need to spend much time on this. It's obvious. Note it. Third, it's a physical witness. It's a spiritual union. It's a ministry foundation. And it's a physical witness. Watch this. It's amazing if you think about it. What takes place in your home, in a marriage, is, number one, the most private thing in the universe. There's nothing more private than what takes place in your home. But at the exact same time, whatever is taking place privately in your home also becomes the most public thing in your community. What goes on in your home? How you treat one another? The maintenance of your marriage, the biblical obedience that you give to the Lord regarding the instructions of your marriage. You follow God in your marriage. What you decide to do privately, if you decide to follow God or not, what you do privately will manifest itself publicly. What is the most sacred sanctuary, your home? What goes on in there, the whole community will know about it. Good, bad, or ugly. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can decide to get a divorce in your bedroom. And let me tell you something, your neighbors are watching. This is true, believer or non-believer. Oh, did you hear the neighbors next door down the street, they're getting a divorce. Where did that come from but a private relationship? What about this church? What takes place in here is somewhat sequestered from the world. It's private. But what happens in here privately, guess what? It's certainly my motive that what takes place here, you take publicly to the world. Who you are privately will be manifested eventually publicly.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called God, Marriage, and Divorce, The Dangers of Splitting Up a Home, Part 2. Thank you for spending some time with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Well, listen, everybody, I actually consider you family here in the Real Life get together, either by teaching or like this prayer. You know, not too long ago, I encouraged all of you to join us in prayer regarding God's truth. And I'm going to ask you this month, if you would just write this down or somehow give yourself a reminder that together, let's pray this month for God's mercy to be upon our country. Now, I'm here in America right now, and I know people hear this around the world, so you insert your country. But right now in the United States, we are in great peril as a nation. We have rejected God in our courts, our schools, our culture. We have evicted God from our government. And I'm sorry to say this, but there's many so-called churches that have removed God from their experience. We need his mercy. With all that's going on in the world right now, with wars and the threat of looming catastrophes, earthquakes and volcanoes, we pray, Lord, for your mercy to be upon us. We know that we deserve your judgment as a nation. We would not disagree, but we're asking you, Lord, to extend your mercy to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And all of us as God's people said, amen. Forgiveness.
Some of us want to hear it at times, and some of us don't. The Gift of Forgiveness, the feature offer for May by Dr. Charles Stanley. It's a wonderful book. And friends, listen, honestly, we always have great, great resources for you, but this is extra special. And here's the reason why. We so much misunderstand the ministry of forgiveness. Please get a copy of this book for yourself. It will change your life, and you might be surprised to find out that forgiveness actually winds up setting you free. Find out more by getting this special May Resource of the Month offer, The Gift of Forgiveness by Dr. Charles Stanley.
The Gift of Forgiveness by Charles Stanley is our gift to you for your generous donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.